Welcome to Paper Cuts Podcast, because YA needs to hear this. I'm Ollie from New Jersey.
I'm Robin from Idaho.
Kayla from Arizona.
And I'm Senna from Ohio.
Today we're discussing Beautiful Creatures, the movie based on the 2009 book of the same name by Cami Garcia and Margaret Stoll. In Beautiful Creatures, Ethan longs to escape his small southern town. He meets a mysterious new girl, Lena. Together, they uncover dark secrets about their respective families, their history, and their town. Taken from IMDb. So, do we want to talk about which one first?
Well, let's make the ending the last one, since we can do spoiler alerts at the end.
No, spoiler alerts on the whole thing. Forget it.
Spoiler alerts on the whole thing, okay.
Spare no secrets. It's all going. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not in Catlin.
Who's starting?
Special guest?
Yay, Kayla, you've been volunteered.
Okay, what am I starting with?
What did you... Did you like the movie or not like the movie?
Oh, I fucking hated it. Oh, it was horrible. It was so horrible. Yeah, I just hated it. I'm sorry, I don't have much more to say on that. I don't have any... Being good to say
hey,
about
that's
it.
Well, that's one.
I look forward to this.
Okay, Robin, how about you?
It sucked.
You guys, killing me here. All right, and you, Ollie?
I'm gonna save you, Jordy. There were things I didn't like, but ultimately, not the worst piece of shit I've seen all year.
Doesn't that come down to like? Three movies for you too.
Yes, it does. But I mean, like, Django Unchained again. Never gonna top that. But yeah, no. I've got some positive things to say, and I'm gonna agree, you know, with some negative things as well. really negative things.
I thought it was, like, the most enjoyable 2 hours that I've had in the movie theater in a very long time.
But you're Schadenfreude, right?
Yes. Okay. No, I'm aware that it was utterly terrible. But it was terrible in a glorious way.
Glorious.
It was a glorious disaster. So, that's what I thought. Yay, all the hard stuff is out of the way.
Huzzah, that was bitch.
This is the fun part.
Now we get to complain.
Yes. We do enjoy
Yay,
that.
The fun part.
Am I the only one who actually lived in South Carolina?
Yep. Please tell me that it does not look like Louisiana in South Carolina.
It does not. From what I remember, it does not. And they do not even talk like that from what I remember. They talk really fast.
Oh my god, it was like, y'all, I'm totally from the South, and I gotta have a catchphrase. Get down my back and tell me it's raining.
It was a long time ago. I think I was in third grade when I was in South Carolina, but... Oh, God, the entire time I was watching the movie, I was going, I have no memory of South Carolina sounding like this.
No, it's really weird, though, right? Because they talk like they're in fucking Alabama or some shit, and then you read the description or whatever, and they're like, it takes place in South Carolina. It's like, I wasn't aware that that was technically I guess it's the South, but wow.
Well, like, it was like, let's go back to the 1950s Alabama or Texas, Louisiana cross, like it was just this amalgamation of this is what we like to pretend the South is in the movies.
It's that romanticized like Gone with the Wind Southern bullshit that they like to show in the movies and in the books and TV and crap.
And I'm gonna call him Ethan the whole time.
I remember South Carolina when I moved there. I was from Oregon, California at the time, and I had problems understanding them because they spoke at 100 miles per hour. How were you supposed to understand someone who spoke 100 miles an hour? That was my biggest problem in third grade, was I could not understand the teachers because they spoke too fast. And here in the movie, they're going, well, I don't know, lass. Maybe you just need to figure out the weather down here. It's just
weird
lately.
I declare.
So, point against Beautiful Creatures. Your romantic self.
Makes no terrible. Goddamn sense.
No.
But I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. It was so goddamn awful that it was just fucking hilarious. Like, it took a good half an hour for me to get into it, but by the time they rolled around to, like, the glass shattering in the classroom, I was like, oh, this is the best shit ever. Somebody get me a goddamn beer. This is amazing.
Maybe you would like the idea of having sex around the alligators underneath you at the same time.
It's hot. Shut up, Robin. Okay, so what do we think about the love story?
I think the love story was a little bit more realistic than a lot of love triangles, or love stories, period, out there, at least for YA. Because they're at least doing more than just staring at each other, and they're not going on too wild adventures. I mean, you see them going out on, like, a picnic kind of a thing, and they go to the library, and they do movie things, so it's almost a normal teenage dating scene kind of thing there. Whereas you don't really see that a lot in the YA movies, it doesn't seem.
Yeah.
I agree.
That is true.
Yeah, I definitely want to agree with that. I also really super appreciated that there was not a love triangle in this movie.
Yes.
Normal kids, well, normal romance, no love triangle. Just kind of liking each other, just kind of being teenagers.
Yep.
And then suddenly matter.
That's actually similar to the book, because in the book, they went on the same basic dates, but they also had a telepathic connection, so they were literally in each other's heads 24... Well, not literally, that's a bad use of the word. They were in each other's heads 24/7. Like, they could feel and experience each other's experiences, so...
I'm reading Catcher in the Rye as I try to go to sleep, and she's listening in.
Yes!
Well, that would explain why they always seem to react when something happened. I couldn't figure that out. I'm like, how in the hell did they get some kind of connection here? It's not explained. I'm lost!
Yeah. So you had that love at first sight magical connection thing, and the movie didn't do that.
I'm dreaming about you.
Yes.
I can smell you everywhere.
That is another thing. He was a... She was in his dreams. And I don't think... Did they ever mention that in the movie?
Only at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, they do.
But they also confess to each other that they were dreaming of each other at certain points in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was like, I thought it was just me.
In the book, it's a harped upon fucking constant thing. So, yeah, no, I thought the love story in the movie was actually really, really kind of decent. Like, the actor kind of carried it off in a charming way, so I was actually okay with that for once.
You let them pass on this one.
Yes. KK, what did you think?
Well, I don't really want to go off topic, but in the beginning, he's like, Wally's like, you know, talking about how she's all in his head and everything. He starts running in the middle of the night. And I just thought that was really weird. I had to write it down because I'm like, who goes running in the middle of the night? Like, I don't know. It was weird to me. But anyways.
It's how they started the movie. Okay. He had to narrate. It was very important.
I need to run. I need to narrate.
Yeah. They're like, the screenwriter's like, I don't want to write this. I'm just going to copy paste from the book and we'll have him narrating. Next scene.
There was a surprising amount of literally from the books.
Yeah, yeah, especially for, it's not something that they do real often when they do the book-to-movie thing, except for Twilight, which, yeah, they did the narrating thing quite often.
Yeah, the love story, they made some interesting choices, compared to at least what I got through in the book. They definitely made it just, you know, they shrunk it down for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It took longer in the book, but I think it made enough sense for, how long was it?
Two hours,
3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, love story wasn't that bad.
No, they did a pretty decent job not making it really over dramatic.
Yeah, and like you said, the kids were the actors doing, and the were not that bad.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the bonuses that this movie had in comparison to, say, Twilight. Twilight, and I've only seen the first one, granted. It took itself.
You need to get the riff tracks for the other ones.
I know, right? I had the riff tracks for the first one, but I can't convince Dave to watch the rest of them with me. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it by myself. It's not as fun. Anyway, Twilight took itself so fucking seriously, and this one really didn't. Like, I kind of felt like maybe the writer or director knew that they were adapting shit. So they were like, yeah, we're going to adapt shit, and we're going to make sure you know that this is shit. So, enjoy. Yeah, so the fact that they weren't declaring their everlasting love so very sincerely made it a lot more endurable for me.
Yeah, it was just appropriately kids trying to hang on to their first love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being like, no, I love you, and that means something. And it's good. It should.
Yep, so.
Sounds like we're done on the love story.
Next.
Yeah.
How about the characters? What did you guys
think?
Oh,
boy.
Characters?
Oh, boy. All right, can we start with the fact that halfway through the movie, it switches, like, main character perspective?
What, from Ethan to Lena?
Yeah, suddenly you're not really following Ethan.
You know, you mentioned that before we went to go see it, and I actually kind of didn't notice.
Oh my god, I noticed and it bugged the shit out of me.
They did for the ending. I noticed that because, you know, Ethan was kind of out of the picture. So you saw Lena's perspective for the final fight. Other than that, I really didn't notice.
It started earlier. It's been over a week now since I saw it. But I remember it happened
when you were in the library.
He was, yeah, in the library. Where suddenly, like, he became just, like, less important, you know, like, everything was about her.
That's true. Well, they did remove him from the story. That's right. Shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, suddenly it was just all about her. You were following her and all what was going on with her. You weren't even getting his inner monologue. It just disappeared.
Well, yeah, because she wiped his memory. Spoilers.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! She wiped his memory halfway through, and Ethan just disappeared while they dealt with the final act. So you are correct, Adam.
Yeah, but definitely it was even before his memory was wiped.
No, after she was shutting him out.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
We can't just figuratively do these things.
We are literally going to slam the door in your face.
So that bothered me, you know? It's like it was still a very female story because it ends up focusing on the girl. And sure, yeah, no, it's good to have stories for girls, but like when you have to start it with, you know, leading in with a dude's perspective, I would just rather stick with this is a boy's love story.
Is the whole book through Ethan's point of view?
Yes, except for the very end after Ethan. Spoilers for the book! After Ethan dies.
Oh, boo hoo.
Yeah, it switches over to whatever the fuck her name is, Lena.
Lena.
Because Duquesne, they even helpfully pronounce it in the book. It's Duquesne with two A's. Anyway, Ethan dies, so obviously it would switch to her perspective, so they could resurrect Ethan and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, resurrection.
Anyway, yes, the entire book is from Ethan's perspective, except for that bit at the end.
Alright, so it switches randomly halfway through the movie to Lena's perspective. I found him as a character in the movie to be, like, almost sincere, but, like, I feel like the actor was playing him almost like, oh, this is a spoof. I'm going to be ridiculous. Smile and be super southern, and so I don't know if maybe someone told him, no, like, this is a joke.
I'm telling you, it was the director. He did not give a shit.
I don't give a fuck.
No, because you get actually the same kind of performance from Jeremy Irons and Emma Thompson. they were just chewing the shit out of that scenery. They did not give a fuck.
No, and no one gave a fuck.
Spectacular. I mean, the scene in the
Penny Rotham, she was...
Who?
One, Ridley, is that her name?
Emmy Rossum, yeah. Ridley.
Yeah, I loved her. She was just like, I'm evil.
Like, I'm the evil seductress.
I love her outfits.
Oh, her outfits were sexy.
They were like,
awesome.
Basically negligees. It was pretty fantastic. Okay, so yeah, in the book, you guys will never guess what she is.
A siren?
Well, aside from that. So, like, they don't go with, like, the gothy southern chic look. She's, like, a goth cheerleader with the tiny little skirts and the fucking lollipop. She sucks a lollipop to cast her spells. I shit you guys not.
Yeah, she
She's
does.
A gothic cheerleader.
She is a gothic cheerleader with highlights in her hair.
I'm super pissed that, like, I'm 150 pages into this book and I haven't even met all the characters.
Nope. You don't meet her till about, a quarter of the way through. It's pretty far.
Yeah, there's some thing, too. Like, his dad and...
Yeah, his dad was missing.
Yeah, he wasn't in the movie at all, was he?
Not at all. Like, they didn't even have to cast that shit.
Right? They didn't... His mom, either. Like, they'd usually, like, spare a moment to show a picture of, like, the dead parent on the mantle. Right. They didn't give a shit.
Get the gravestone.
Yeah, no, and the librarian, the mom's best
Marianne,
friend.
The librarian, yeah. They combined her.
Yeah, they're only one black person for movie, sorry. Oh, that's not true, though, because they made the cheerleader chick.
Yeah, I feel like they should have just been like, you know what, he lives with Emma, the end.
But then they wouldn't have had that rich backstory with his mom and Macon.
Macon, which Macon. I just keep hearing as, like, Megan.
Megan, yeah. I kept thinking they were saying Megan.
Yeah, I don't really know why his father was even involved.
Completely removed the father, like, remove the father and the mother, have them have died however long ago, and just be like, now you live with just her.
And she... yeah, well, we're talking characters.
We called it.
The magical other magical lady, other, yep. Who in the book is also a mammy figure. So, that's a mammy figure.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, in, like, the fucking 20th, like, really? Really? Yeah. Oh, my God. Ugh.
She's, like, worse in the book.
She is so much worse. Like, I
couldn't
portrayal.
Believe it. They gave her actual, like, use in the movie.
Yeah.
And she got some lines that made me kind of feel a little better about some of the stuff that they had her doing in the middle of the swamp, in the middle of the night, with all the tribal marks down her back. Oh, God.
As soon as I saw that, I was just, like, cringing.
Me, too. I was like, really? I, like, threw my hands up in the theater. Like, really, guys?
Oh, my God. Wait. Oh, I just... there was something that I cracked up in the movie theater. Oh, it was when, Mrs. Lincoln, and she's got Seraphine in her body. They're at the church, and they're, like, talking about how, we don't want our kids sitting in with this devil girl. And she rants about, like...
homosexuals!
Yes! It's like
Protestants! Republicans!
Oh, my God. I'm so glad there were only, like, three other people in the theater with us. I have never laughed that loud and that loud. In movie theater. Ever.
No, that was the best fucking scene. That part, and then the part where she stops time and just starts fucking vamping it up.
Around.
Like a fucking just out of her mind and just enjoying the shit out of it. That was the best.
They're never gonna put roles like that again.
No, you know, they were like, you know, this is once in a lifetime, this is a shitty movie, we're going to enjoy this. Like,
I made you brownies!
That was totally worth the price of admission. That, and then, oh my God, you remember when they're like, they're sulking, or what's her name, the teenager. Lena is, like, sulking, and there's the really dramatic piano music, and they're doing, like, the montage thing. And then at the very end, they cut to her in her house, and fucking Megan is the one playing the piano.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
That was the best. I laughed out loud. That was just so really fantastic.
Really, playing this music?
He's playing her sad morning music right behind her.
Like, Lena, I think you're sad now, so I'm going to play you some music, and you can sit here and sulk. All right, honey, here you go.
Seriously, it was a parody in moments like that. It was just so fantastic.
Oh, man. There were so many moments in this movie that were just perfect.
Jeremy Irons is so great.
Yeah, let's talk about Jeremy Irons. I just heard Scar with a southern accent the whole time.
It was that growl, man. Like, the minute he started talking, you know, in his first introduction to Ethan, and he, like, got up and decided he was going to fucking play the piano while they talked, he didn't care. And he was just like, rawr, rawr, rawr. This is the best ever.
I'm going to go kill my brother. Goodbye. Oh, though I did love that scene, and I don't know if there's just a scene in the book, but when he's sitting there saying, oh, and what are you going to do when you're older? And Ethan says, I'm going to go to college, as long as it's close to home. I mean, so I can take care of my dad. I mean, I'm probably going to marry Emily. We'll have some kids. And I'll never make enough money, and she'll leave me. And
you'll end up cheating on her with Savannah in a motel.
I'll sweep up after hours at the bar. I'll kill myself when I'm 64. Like, yes!
I was like, where the hell did that come from? It's all like, and he just keeps going with all this shit.
And you
life.
Can tell that, like, he made him do it, but...
Yeah.
Ah, how good was that?
Yeah, he actually, that doesn't happen in the book. They just added that.
Oh, well, then bravo. Because all of these kids think they're special in these movies, you know? They're like, I'm gonna marry the vampire! And you're like, no, honey.
Yeah, that was great. Kind of unexpectedly dark. That was right around the time where the movie was just, like, ripped off its clothes and it had a Technicolor, like, nighty underneath and it didn't care.
It was like, hey, don't mind if I do.
One thing I had problems with was distinguishing the characters, because I guess I just hadn't read it and that was my problem. Because I couldn't figure out Serafina and Ridley, because I kept...
Yeah, Ridley's the sister.
It took me forever to figure that out, though. I'm like, I'm lost. Which one are you, and how are you related to the story? And then once I figured out, well, Ridley was the almost sister, I was kind of like, so how much older is Ridley? Because she seems to be like 18, 20, and...
Oh, yeah. Emmy Rossum is at least 25, but they were trying to play it like she was 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Well, she
looked like
16.
18, 20 to me. And I'm like, if I'm doing my math right, and Lena is 15 now, and they're like 5 years apart, why is a 10-year-old following a 16-year-old out of the house?
Yeah. The
train. To watch a guy get hit by a train.
Yeah, no, in the book they were about a year apart, and I think that they were trying to stick with that for the movie, but they just didn't give a fucking cast Emmy Rossum, because she's awesome.
She is awesome. And, yeah, I would go with the same thing. I didn't feel like she was a year older. She felt like she was a couple years older. The large cast. So the cover of the book with the movie poster on it, it makes it look like it's an ensemble cast, and then you look at it and go, who's that dude? Is that the son? Yeah, he was not in here at all. So I can understand where there would be confusion over who is Ridley and who is Seraphine, and just who are these people? I didn't even know who a couple of them were once they started introducing, like, the aunt and the grandmother even need to be here. And then, like, the random brother, cousin, whatever he is. Like, oh, are you still here?
They It was so great because, you know, at the end where he walks up and he's illusioned as Macon.
Yeah.
His power in the book is that he can make illusions of, you know, for himself and other people. They didn't even bother explaining that. They're just like magic.
Wow. Yeah, magic. You'll be fine.
It was magic. You guys have seen. She fucking flipped off the moon. You guys don't care, right? It's magic. Yeah.
I just believe it's magic.
He was also a bad guy in the book, though. He ended up double-crossing them, but I guess they didn't want to bother with that subplot.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. He's here.
What up? Else about Macon I couldn't get. From what I understood, and maybe it's just because it was me just having seen the movie and being completely blind to the book, maybe you can explain it to me. It seemed like everyone but Macon was a black caster, but he was once a black caster, but he was trying to be white for Lena. Why in the hell was he wanting to be white when he was black? And why was he wanting her to be white when everyone else in the family seemed to be black? I could not get that.
Robin, that is racist.
Yeah, no, that's where the movie kind of, like, there are some things, okay, where the movie improved on the book. There were some stakes that they set in there, some confusion that they erased, that made it more, like, okay, for example, the whole thing in the flashback with the Confederate, like, soldier and the plantation owner's daughter, where she revives him and then immediately turns evil and kills him, which was fantastic, by the way.
Why'd she kill him? Well, because she was evil now.
She was evil. Look, she, like, morphed into a black, gothy, deviant art dress, and she has red eyes. She's evil. Whatever. she, like, literally had this shift in personality. Like, she was a threat. Whereas in the book, they were like, oh, Lena, you're going to go dark and it's going to be horrible. But the only example of a dark caster that we have is Ridley. And Ridley was more morally ambiguous in the book than she was in the movie. Because, you know, in the movie, she's just, like, fucking killing people. She didn't care. But in the book, she, like, genuinely cared for the boy that she was seducing, the best friend. Yeah, she genuinely cared about him. So there was, you didn't really have an idea of how much autonomy she had and how much she was following Serafina's commands and how much was her nature. Whereas in the movie, they're like, they turn evil. It's evil. Yeah. They can't help it. And you were like, well,
women just, they go bad, right? Or they go good and they just stay that way. But men can choose.
They fucking up the stakes on the misogyny in this one, though. Like, it looks bad, but the movie was like, only the women's. It's their periods or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And they're either good women or bad women, you know.
For life.
Forever.
But it's for me.
But the good ones were not even, like, good. They weren't going out doing good things. Like,
they're housewives, Ollie.
Yeah, and, the, like, the bad ones were, like, doing bad shit. So you're like, well, are the good people going out doing good stuff? Like,
no, the good women stay at home and take care of the men. The bad women go out, wear
cut
dresses, and have sex.
Seduce men.
Oh my god, I don't know why this is confusing for you.
I'm sorry, I wasn't there for that class.
But, at least there was some sort of threat there, like, okay, if Lena goes dark, she's gonna instantly go evil and fucking kill everybody.
Kill Ethan.
In the book, they're like, she's gonna go dark, and then what happens? We have no idea, because there's no establishing anything for what happens if she goes dark, if she's still gonna be herself, or, you know, is she gonna have any empathy, or is she just gonna instantly turn into a magical sociopath? They don't clarify, so the movie actually, at least they gave us a reason to give a shit.
Alright,
well, I thought in the book,
but why can Macon choose?
Actually, in the book, he can't. It's men and women. The movie was just like, fuck that shit. The women's.
So was Macon black in the movie, or was he a white, I mean, in the book? Because in the movie, they have him as black, but becoming white, so.
None of the above, Robin. He was an incubus.
Oh, great. Yay.
Yep.
So you have a siren and an incubus.
She's not literally a siren, though. He was literally an incubus. That just came out of left field.
He had sex with people?
No.
I don't want to think about Macon having sex with people.
No, he fed off their dreams. So I guess he wasn't like the sexy incubus. He was like, he fed off their dreams. He was like a dream eater. He was the PG incubus. But no, he was an incubus. And apparently he was a good incubus. But I don't think the whole being claimed thing really affected him. But it did affect the boys.
Okay, so, new question. If the Dark had claimed her, she could never choose to be good, or she could choose to be good later?
Are we talking the book or the movie?
The book.
Either.
Whatever. The book.
No, according to book lore, if she went dark, she was dark for realsies. But again, they don't really... Realsies. Dark in the books isn't really evil.
It's mischievous.
Yes, it's really stupid, and it's one of the really big failings of the book that they don't bother to define.
Make a serious choice as an author, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Bad is bad, the fucking end.
Like, literally, the only thing we have in the book is Serafina and the cheerleader, whose only crime is apparently enjoying sex.
Okay, but I thought in the book that her, like, you know, she couldn't choose whether she was going to be light or dark, but whatever it was going to be, the others, the people who were light would die.
Oh,
yeah, that thing.
There's that. They didn't do that in the movie, did they?
No, they didn't.
All right, so let's go to the movie here. In the movie, they were like, oh, whatever she is, magical fucking snowflake that she is, whatever she is will be the whole next age of casters. Like, everything will be good or everything will be bad.
Yeah.
I would like to note that, like, nothing fucking changed, and, like, we had the one moment with her grandmother or aunt or whatever she was being like, oh, I'm so happy this day is happening, and then she runs off to try to save Ethan, a.k.a. Deacon, and we never go back to that party. We never hear anything else about it. Like, she's just 6 months later sitting at the library doing her thing. Like, that... nothing has happened.
It kind of makes sense in the movie because one of my notes says just fuck you, Moon, because she does that. She's like, fuck you, Moon, and in the book they kind of explain it. They punt. She makes the moon disappear, and the moon apparently is the only thing, like, it functions in claiming her. If the moon apparently doesn't exist on the night of her 16th birthday, then she doesn't have to choose. So, she uses her special snowflake magical powers to just fucking flip off the moon and say no. And they punt at the end of the book to, I'm presuming, like, the next year when she will actually have to choose. But in the movie, it seemed like they were saying she was both.
Which was interesting.
Yeah, and it was the whole claim yourself whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was interesting. She had the one... gold eye sometime.
So, I mean, at least that kind of made sense in that sense, whereas in the book was just a gigantic clusterfuck at the end.
Oh, boy. Alright, any other characters we want to talk about?
No. No, I think that's about it.
Alright, what are we going to talk about next? Robin, you said you wanted to talk about costume?
Yeah, I just can't see anyone wearing something that looked kind of like a bra stitched into a piece of plastic kind of thing when she first shows up and tries to take Ethan. I wasn't quite sure how to describe that dress, but I'm kind of like, are we sure she's even wearing anything there? I can see why the guys are staring at you, and it might not be because of your powers.
Her power.
We're talking about Ripley here, right?
Yeah, I think that was who it was. Yeah, she shows up at the field and basically picks up Ethan in this dress that looks like it's not there, to me anyways. And I'm kind of like, how do we know it's her powers that are making Ethan kind of go, me, Ethan, instead of the dress that she's wearing? Because
it looks like she wasn't hiding anything. That is her power, Robin. Her sole power is, you know, attracting the menfolk.
Yes, but if she had worn a more appropriate dress, we could have seen her power a little bit better than if... It just struck me as weird, and her dresses were weird, and I didn't like the costume. I mean, they were beautiful gowns, but I'm like, in real life, you could have the police on you going, you see that 5-year-old kid over there? You're going to jail for wearing his outfit in front of him.
It does look like a negligee. I think that was kind of the point, though. I'm glad that they didn't go with the gothy cheerleader thing, because that's just, like,
yeah.
I'm in a head desk for a little while. So, I don't know. I'm with Kayla. I thought her costumes were neat. I think they were very negligee, but, you know, that's...
I would like to have seen more of her. Just saying.
No, my favorite part, though, was after they have that discussion with Ethan and Lena about how they can't see each other. And he, you know, she was just, like, wearing normal clothes, like t-shirt and jeans type stuff. And he goes to visit her at her house while they're doing the ward thing. And she's just sitting there on the stairs in a DeviantArt dress. Like,
so pretty, pretty.
Why are you just lounging at home in an evening gown? I don't understand. This is so
They stupid. Had some really weird outfits when they were being all mage-like.
I'm pretty sure her family was just... like, designed by Tim Burton with all their weird hair, and, like, even the old ladies had, like, purple and pink hair.
I want to talk about that house. Holy shit, I want that house.
Dude, right?
Ah, I didn't like it. It looked like a bad green screen effect to me.
I just, so, Sana, I don't know if you are familiar with Changeling the Lost, our tabletop. Okay.
Nope.
It's, you play as you've been stolen away by the Fae, and like a changeling was left in your, well, they call it a fetch, but it was left in your place, you know, and it grows up, lives your life, but then, like, you escape and come back, so you're just, like, all kinds of weird creatures from folklore, etc. But anyway, that's what it like felt like. It felt like this is the kind of place that they would live in, with all of this weird fucking magic, and, like, you walk into it and, like, today we'll be dealing with autumn. Just trees will drop leaves all over the place. And then come back tomorrow and we'll have snowflakes all over the place. Like, it was gorgeous, and it just made me, like, want that, and now I need to put it in a setting.
It was like the, like a mood wall.
Yeah.
They did that in the book, too, to an extent, but it wasn't, like, just the one room and, like, different things were projected on the walls. It was the house literally changed shape. Yeah, you read that.
Yeah.
They redecorated.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Constantly.
Totally redecorated.
And I guess that was a neat idea. It kind of struck me as kind of, like, Mary Sue house. Like, oh, look at me. I have a super special house. It has all my Sharpie poetry on the walls.
Okay, that's true.
But I would have liked it in the movie a little bit more if they'd had more practical sets aside from just the one staircase. Like, it kind of bugged me that everything was digital. I would have liked to see actual interiors aside from, like, the spinning table.
That scene also went on way too long.
Yeah, it did.
Hilarious.
It did.
We're like, this is not a caster fight. This is like a caster, like, bitchy moment of, mom.
Don't you love how they tried to make it look like the table was spinning super fast, but the angle that they were doing it from, you could tell that it was just sort of like merry-go-round speed.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Oh. I would have liked to have seen any actual legit caster fights.
What
it just felt like. It felt like there were no fights. It felt like they were just, like, standing and talking at each other.
The 2-second multi thing at the end didn't do it for you.
No, not in the least. I'm gonna get more crazy witch fights out of the Great and Powerful Oz.
That's true. But to be fair, they didn't really do that much in the book, so I guess they really didn't have much to work with. And how about how much of a spoiler the trailer was for the movie?
For what?
Serafina? Because in the trailer, she's in, you know, they show that she's the bad witch.
Yeah.
Whereas,
what body she's in.
Yeah, and the book, they don't even fucking touch that. They don't mention her name for, like, 300 pages. So I was so glad that they got that out of the way relatively quickly in the movie. When she, you know, she did the craziness.
Doesn't that scene not even happen until, like, the last quarter of the book?
The town hall thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's not, I mean, she's there, but she doesn't tell him that she's there. They don't reveal that she is Lincoln's mom until the last fight.
Oh, God, so there's a mystery?
To be a mystery, they would have to acknowledge her presence more. And
okay,
they don't.
So where is Seraphine? But she's here. I can feel her presence. I don't know where she is, but no, we don't even do that.
They don't even do that. They don't mention her name until the end. And then they kind of forget about her for a little bit. And then, oh god, she showed up to claim Lena. So I was glad they got that out of the way. Because otherwise that would have just been like 2 hours of, you know, I saw this in the trailer, right? Like, we know who the bad guy is here.
So we touched a little bit on the magic. Did people want to weigh in more on that?
Well, I don't know if it was because of the bad copy I had, but half the time I knew they were doing magic, but I didn't know what they were doing. Like, in the end, when, like, I know Cynthia just explained it, where she put her hand in the air and, like, she was like, wah, and, like, obviously she was doing magic, and what's her name, Ridley, says, what did she say?
She was like, she more
said, no one can do that.
Do that.
I was like,
I didn't understand that
what
either.
The hell did she do? I was like, she just put her hand in the air. I can do that, you know what I mean?
I remember seeing that, like, she made the moon, like, not be there, but I thought that was just an illusion.
Didn't understand the significance.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there was nothing about the 16 moons thing in the movie.
Yeah,
so.
That's really interesting. Just because I think I said earlier that it was, I thought that the ending might be really confusing if you hadn't read the book for context. And I was actually, like, sitting there wondering, like, I wonder what you guys are going to think, because I don't know how fucked up this is, because I kind of have background, but it seems like this could be really fucked up, because they're just doing shit out of nowhere, and they're not really explaining why.
Like, the brother, or, I'm sorry, the cousin making himself look like Macon, that I just took as illusion, you know, but the whole fact that, like, she was like, oh my god, Ethan, I need to run off and save him, and then, like, I'm going dark because Ethan is dead, and then it's suddenly, like, here's Jeremy Irons going, you know, no, don't do that. And like, that was, like, why let her go a little dark? Like, reveal yourself immediately. Like, I didn't understand how he could remove things, like...
But then it
like,
would be dramatic.
It's just GMery all over the place. I didn't understand anything that was going on.
Yeah. Well, and with the magic, like Cynthia said in the books, they can do different things, and that's not really made known in the movie.
I figured everybody could do everything.
That's kind of... how they put it across.
How they use it, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even understand what she did to her mother at the end when she was crushing her soul with something. I don't even, like, what?
She was like, is she turning her into dead vines or what's going on? Yeah.
I guess so. Like, in the book, she threw a fucking fireball at her or some shit. It was much more clear.
Yeah.
But they're like, we have a really neat special effect and we need to use it, okay?
It'll be pretty.
Symbolic in some way, I think. I don't know.
It'll give us a reason to use the vines in the end credits.
Oh, speaking of slightly ending, you know, she rips her out of Lincoln's mom's body.
Yeah, and then she went crazy?
What the fuck was up with that? In the casual way they mentioned it? They're like,
yeah, I was like, oh, do you want to go visit mom?
They send her. I'm like, what?
Why? Way to mention that shit, Link.
What the? That is so fucked up. Because, like, as far as they know, the mom had no culpability in anything, any of the horrible things that she did. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, well, we're going to send her to a fucking sanitarium. We don't care. She's
actually,
a woman, right?
Yeah, when you think about it, hers is the most horrifying part of this whole movie.
Yeah, and they fucking just toss her out and nobody cares. And that's really, really awful. Like...
Because
fridge
it,
horror.
It sounds like they treat her like she's Seraphine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're supposed to get something out of her comeuppance, but what did she do? Absolutely
nothing.
She did
nothing.
She was
that was never her. Yeah.
In the book, what didn't she, like, agree to Seraphine, like, joining her body or something?
No. She was a legit, like, fundamental bigot. But she was still possessed the entire time. They don't actually mention her fate in the book. Seraphine just sort of, like, cracks her open, like, like a shell. I'm not even shitting you. She like cracks her down the middle, steps out, and then puts her back together. Or she comes back together behind her, I don't know. And then that's her mom's a hot goth chick. So, but they don't really mention what happened to his mom. And I guess you're not supposed to care because she was a bigot. Oh well.
I think she died.
Yeah.
She died.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Died.
For as entertaining as it was, like, this movie was so fucking misogynistic. It's not even... Ethan, especially, he had that one line when they were talking about Ridley, and she was explaining to him what Ridley can do. She's like, yeah, she can make any man do what she wants. And he's like, well, isn't that the definition of a bitch? And I'm like, fuck you! Fuck you and your douche.
The horse you rode in on, apparently.
Yes.
Did you know
that bitch, like, every 2 seconds in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
That bitch.
Especially with regards to Ridley.
Yep.
I was like, god damn, you hate women or something. I don't even know.
I'm gonna have to think further on this mom thing, because that was actually pretty bad.
You keep writing something, Robin. What are you...
Oh, they're just a bunch of questions that keep running through my head, and I figured if I wrote them down, they'd shut up for a few minutes. I was wondering what happened to Ethan while Macon was him. You see that the Civil War reenactment was an assignment for class, so he had to be somewhere, but they don't show you where he was during that time. So I didn't know what happened to him in that area.
Yeah, he might as well have not been there, I guess. I guess, like, Macon... you know what? That's a good question. I guess he just, didn't show up? He's never even made aware of the caster shit that's going on.
No.
I mean, did they knock him out for a couple of hours? Drug him?
Doesn't matter. Not important.
But he just didn't show up in that one.
not his half of the movie.
Yeah.
He's done his duties.
Of course, it turns out that Ethan is Macon. Why was it that the boyfriend was more black magic worthy than the uncle dying? I mean, they loved each other either way.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's because it's the boyfriend. Because
the only reason I can think of it was because Macon kept wanting her to be white, but so was the boyfriend. So either way, I'm not quite sure what to think about that in that area.
Well, brief explanation, I promise. In the book... Again, it was, if she went dark, then all of the light casters, including her family, would die. If she went black, all of the black casters would die. And so...
Why her?
Because she's special, Ollie. Oh my god. but...
Rage quit.
but
oh,
to...
Oh, mad!
There was... There was also a curse in addition to just having to choose between black and light. And to fix the curse, the person that she loved had to die. That was the movie.
Macon broke the curse?
That was the movie. Macon broke the curse, but why couldn't someone else have died, like, you know, in different generations or something? I mean, and how specific does the death have to be? By the looks of it, has to be murder.
in front of them.
I think she or somebody that she loved had to die, and she assumed that it had to be Ethan, and she didn't want it to be Ethan, but Macon substituted himself because she loved him too, and he wanted to sacrifice to be able to keep her and Ethan, to let her have Ethan, basically.
Oh, you fucking martyr.
And, oh god, the movie and the book are getting mixed up in my head again, but... That was how it was in the book. He died to break the curse to keep her from... Oh, God, I don't even know what the fucking curse did anymore. Fuck it. You know what? I don't care. Whatever.
Come
yeah,
rage quit with
the curse in the movie.
I think the curse allowed her to choose what she wanted to be.
Oh, yeah. Rather than be claimed.
Yeah.
And then they punted.
What about Ethan's best friend? He was able to perform magic, but as far as I could tell, Ethan could not, in fact, do that.
That whole scene confused me. It did. It confused the crap out of me, because I don't think I saw the part before that or something, because suddenly there's a bullet coming out of his hand, and I was like, what? But
Yeah. too. It was kind of like, wait a minute.
How can you teach him anything?
Yeah. Who is the chick
Speaking of that, why can't Lena teach him some stuff? He seems to have an interest in it. So it would just seem like it was just kind of a convenience thing for the plot.
Yep.
It wasn't explained.
Nope,
and then
I think
he just
right.
seems to then he just seems to kind of completely forget that he shot someone. He disappears, he's like, oh shit, I killed Ethan, and then it reveals that it's not Ethan, and he's kind of like, oh well, that's cool. Bye.
He didn't know that guy. What does he care?
But, you know, he just disappeared, and there's no mention of him being shot later on, or thinking he was being shot.
Well, hey, he was the town shut-in, and he would probably be a hero for shooting him.
Yeah, there was no mention of a cleanup crew coming in to zap their minds from the memories, or, you know, anything like that.
Well, we're also talking the guy who took his mother being sent to a sanitarium rolling, so I'm thinking he doesn't have a lot of empathy.
Word.
Well, that's fucked up.
Yep. No, it was a lot of Deus Ex Machina there. They don't care. Look, it's the last 15 minutes of the movie. They need to wrap this shit up.
Let's wrap this shit up, people.
It was long enough.
And what did everyone think of Macon and everyone else trying to keep Ethan and Lena apart? I thought it was different from the boyfriend doing that, well, it's too dangerous to be around me, so let's just not see each other thing that you see a lot of it.
She did kind of do that, though.
Yeah, at the beginning. And then she wiped his memory to keep him away from her.
Yeah.
Violation.
The original
privacy.
Role, I think, was more the uncle and the grandparents. So I was just kind of curious as to what everyone else thought about that.
Well, I'm going doing it again. In the book, they were keeping them apart because the curse, but also because it is literally physically impossible for a caster and a human to be together. The caster will kill the human. Like, the first time Ethan and what's her name kiss, he has a heart attack.
I thought he suffocated. Well, either way, yeah.
Well, he basically almost dies, and her little cousin has to come in and heal him back to life. Oh, yeah, that's right. So they were keeping them apart. Because they were afraid that if she accidentally killed Ethan or they got too close, then she would go dark. So that was why they were doing it in the book. In the movie, they just, I don't know, suck it.
You're all good. Yeah,
I actually wrote that down. They didn't put that their making out was a problem at all.
No, they did it all the time.
All the time.
There's a couple of scenes that made it look like they were actually having sex. So
I'm pretty
like,
sure they did. I thought that was kind of sweet, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
At least they weren't having sex around the alligators.
That's only for the kinky, slutty people. Duh, Robin. People
yeah.
casters.
Well, in South Carolina, where you're very likely to find a swamp in the first place.
Oh my god, I know, right?
Yeah, that's where the maid lived in the book. Lived in the swamp because that's where black people live.
Oh my god!
I wasn't sure if they were in South Carolina or New Orleans, so you just thought, well, I'll just combine the two.
It's True Blood for kids. We need a goddamn swamp. Well, we've talked about a lot. Did we talk about the special effects yet, all?
I just want to say the special effects were fucking awesome. I'll come back from rage quitting to say that. Special effects were super neat. I think they were pretty. They were cool. They were blue and shiny. I liked it every time they showed up. Green screen was pretty terrible, but the magic special effects,
yeah.
I liked it.
Anything else anybody wanted to...
The ending! I want to talk about the very, very... very end.
Before we hit the ending, Ollie.
Oh, okay.
Anything else anybody wants to bring up?
There were random plots, but I can't remember any more that just, like, fizzled off into nothing.
You don't remember which ones?
What I can think off the top of my head is, like, Emily, the ex-girlfriend. She disappeared. She was useless. She was only, like, a catalyst for the beginning of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
The dad never even fucking showed up. We discussed that.
Yeah.
Ridley, like, there was actually a point where my partner and I were like, bring Emmy Rossum back. She was hot. And we're like, we haven't seen her for half an hour. She's just never coming back. And then, like, 10 minutes later, she showed up again. But still, it was one of those things where it was like, you showed up and then you did nothing and you're off, I don't know, like you said, having sex with Alligator Boy. And then that nothing.
I love how they just kind of let her slip away too. Like she's done just as bad shit as Seraphine, but she pouts and, you know, Lena lets her go. Like, I'm not gonna vine you. You can go. Even though she's shown in no uncertain terms to be evil for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ridley was more like, well, I loved you. Remember, I was trying to protect you when I was going evil. And she looks at her mother and goes, so did you love me? No. Boom. Oh. If you don't love the main character, you must die.
Oh, that thing her mother said, like when she was asking her if she loved her, and she's like, well, how could I love you when you pop this thing out of you and it's a younger, prettier version of you?
Oh.
And
oh my! Oh, I forgot.
Right,
that's right. Quitting.
Like that's a thing that women deal with, having to be jealous of their. Oh my god! Yeah,
as mother, I can say that does not happen.
You mean you aren't like in sexual competition with your daughter, Kayla?
No, I really, really am not. That's kind of creepy.
That was a really awful line to slip in there.
I don't know, I've heard of a study where they actually found that when the daughter is a teenager, I don't know if they've done it before they were teenagers, but when they were a teenager, the mother and the daughter will sometimes get in a lot of fights because the mother will be kind of like, well, if I'd had this opportunity, and if I had this opportunity, you've got a clean slate, you can actually do this stuff. I want you to do this stuff. Let me live through you, kind of a thing. And it kind of almost sounds like a competition because there's also those areas where you hear the, of mothers going, well, I was a beauty queen when I was 14. You should be a beauty queen by the time you're 13 or 15 or whatever. And it can be kind of competitive in that area. I think it just depends on the shallowness of the person.
It's not to say that those kinds of people don't exist. I mean, because, you know, TLC has clearly proven that they do. But
yeah.
It bothers me because there's such a saturation of this idea that women cannot be friends for exactly this reason, because they instinctively hate each other, they're always in competition.
Yeah, you know, actually, now that you're mentioning that, none of the characters in the stories, I think maybe only in the book it was the librarian and the mother, but nobody else who was female had female friends unless they were like mean girls who were just kind of, I'm friends with you so that you're not mean to me, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that group of girls. Like, nobody's ever just, you're my friend.
Yeah, and it's like, a problem awesome. In the entire genre. There's, women don't have female friends because the women in these books just, like, continually screw one another over for the dudes. So,
yes.
Just seeing that, that's, like, such an MRA opinion. And seeing that come out of Seraphine's mouth, you know, from a mother to her daughter, is just so fucking horrifying in a movie like this. And especially one that's about, you know, women who have to turn evil because women...
Because they get their period.
Yeah.
It's hey, just... that, you know, what would we say to your brother, Kayla? We're going to talk about heavy menstruations tonight.
I think it's just stuck in our head now.
You make good on that promise.
But so, I did find it interesting that Ridley never went for Ethan. She basically just kind of left him alone. Well, that one time to get him into the house, but other than that,
that
you know, she was more... She was more interested in the other boyfriend and
but
the other
she was
guy.
Interested in him because that was the purpose that she served in the plot. She
yes.
was there to give him the bullet. So it's not like that she wanted or didn't want either one of them. It's just what she was told to do. So I don't.
Not all super convoluted. Why even bother with him? Like
because she was in the book. We have to get this shit in.
You know what I mean? Like, why bother? Why make it so convoluted where you're like, oh, and your best friend's gonna shoot and kill you?
Yeah, because
well,
Seraphine
everyone else
just
can transform what
up.
They look like. Why can't Ridley shoot him herself, pretending to be the friend?
Because they
God,
don't tell
that
you
be...
that, but she doesn't have that power. It's just one of the things you're supposed to, like, psychically know, Robin. Okay, so that was my thing I wanted to bring up before we finish. Does anybody else have one?
What about the, like, crazy, the whole town's, like, full of crazy church people?
And that's what the South is like.
Oh, yeah, I love that we're back.
Is it really? Because, like,
They're all, like, freaking crazy church people.
Well, not nowadays.
I thought it was funny that they were supposedly, you know, witches, casters, people who are shunned by the Bible Belt. But when
the whole
Ethan
fucking
asks Lena,
casters lives underneath here.
Ethan asks Lena, so where have you lived? And she says, well, basically the entire Bible Belt from now on. I'm kind of like, why would you be living in the Bible Belt?
They still burn witches down here.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, there are other states other than the Bible Belt. You know, this could be, like, your first state in the Bible Belt for the... would make a little bit more sense if you're actually a witch and being known as one.
I think...
But I guess it's just too much logic.
It bothered me that they were like, hey, here's this library that is basically Caster Central. You're basically living in the city that is, like, the capital Caster world.
I just like that one line about them moving it because of that one
Nancy Reagan.
That
was fantastic.
That was a great line.
But no, you're right. It's like, well, we used to be in Washington, D.C., but now we're in buttfuck South Carolina. Don't know why. They talk in the book some about, like, Macon's family being a big Caster family and this area being Caster Central, but they really don't ever explain why.
Because that's where the authors wanted to place it.
Because the South is very glamorous and pretty and not racist at all. I don't know where you would get that idea.
Are the authors based in South Carolina? Where are they from? Anyone know?
Yes, they are both from Los Angeles, but one of them claims, and I quote, Southern roots. Not sure why you'd brag about that, but... you know, that was apparently the logic for setting the story in the South with Confederate soldiers. And
I was thinking that they were just doing a whole parody for the South Carolina thing the entire time. I'm kind of like, you've got the weird accent, you've got the weird clothes, you've got everyone with a pitchfork in their hand.
I think
going,
movie,
you're unholy.
The movie might have been playing it up for camp, but the book really treats it like it's something exotic and romantic, the whole Southern feel and the Civil War thing, so fuck that.
Indeed.
Okay, so if nobody has anything else, I guess we can finally get to the ending.
You can finally get to the last 10 minutes of the movie?
Yes.
Hi, I thought it was the last 5 seconds.
No. No, the last 5 seconds are the bad part.
He was almost there.
He almost stuck the landing. He was almost free.
Wasn't it beautiful for like the first 5 minutes when you thought they were really going to do it?
I know.
Like, oh my god, they don't end up together happily ever after. He's going to school.
Let's just face it, okay? At the beginning of the thing, all he wanted to do was go out of Gatlin. He just wanted to leave Gatlin, go to school somewhere else, anywhere else. And he was a friendly, happy, outgoing kid, okay? By the end of the movie, he's a friendly, happy, outgoing kid who's going to go check out a school in New York. And then he literally can't even get on the highway. He can't leave town. He can't fucking leave town. He's stuck for this fucking bitch.
He's 5 feet away from the goodbye sign.
And it jogged his memory.
There's no way. There's
I had sex here.
That fire that burned that sign was because we were having sex in this area.
I'm not a virgin. Oh my god, I need to go back.
I know, fuck school. I need to go get laid.
Let the poor kid go. He's so much happier without you. Like, his whole demeanor changed as soon as he remembered. Like, he just got that dead eyes thing again where it was like, oh my god, that's right. The weight of the world, the weight of your life is all crushing me.
And then he gets out and, you know, does his dramatic dream that she hears in the middle of town.
Yeah. It's like, how did the car end up swerving? You weren't driving.
he just like smacked his friend in the face so he couldn't get them on the highway. Yeah, but getting serious face there for a minute, I was like edge of my seat. Like, if they do this, I will forgive a great deal of the shittiness of this movie if they pull the trigger on this.
How fucking cool would that have been?
Yeah, and I was like, I was okay with it. their goodbye was really good.
It was very good.
She, you know, there was kind of like this bittersweetness to it. And, you know, him seeing the sign as he was passing by, you know, that was kind of sad.
Yep, a little bit of kind of recognition and just like, and then, confused.
You know, he just kind of would have, if he just kind of shrugged it off and been like, whatever, and he kept going, I might have, like, unironically been able to recommend this movie because we never
Indeed.
See that.
Yeah, no, all I wanted.
But, you know, it's always fucking happily ever after, forever, become a vampire, become a fucking, you know, witch, whatever, as long as you can stay together with your high school boyfriend for the rest of your life. And they almost fucking did it, and then that last moment.
The last moment.
And then cut to black, and it's like, what the fuck was that? Okay?
Cut to black 5 seconds earlier, and that is a damn good movie.
It really was. And so I went to go see it with a friend, right? And she actually legitimately enjoyed the books. She was doing okay with the movie. And as they were saying goodbye in the library, she turns to me and she's like, I don't like this ending. And I'm like, oh my god, I love this ending. So we're both sitting there watching it. And he's driving out of town. And, you know, he stops and he's like, Lena. And I just fucking, like, drop my hands. I'm like, fuck this, I'm done. And so, you know, the lights come up. And we kind of look at each other. She's like, I don't think I liked that ending. And I'm like, I know I didn't fucking like that ending. Fuck that.
So even people who liked the book didn't like that ending.
Exactly.
So,
who was the ending
piss
for?
Off the people, yeah, piss off the people who like the book and just cut it 5 seconds earlier. Like, okay, so actually I think you mentioned it to me at some point earlier. The idea that maybe they tested this ending out.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and had to get him out of the car.
Yeah, because the kids were too upset that this could have some sort of, like, realistic, emotionally relevant ending. Because it really doesn't make sense, because the whole thing about Ethan losing his memory, none of that's in the book. He sticks through it. He doesn't even consider leaving Gatlin. They don't even touch any of that in the book. It's just, like, they defeat the bad guy. She punts and, you know, they'll deal with it next year, and now we can be together.
For a year.
But we can't make out or do it.
Right, because she's rogue. But the idea of him leaving, like, never comes up. So it's like, exactly, why would you radically change this ending that's going to upset fans of the book and not stick with it? It just, it's
go
making
for it.
Everybody
go for
happy.
It, you know?
Yeah. Rant.
It was almost so good.
It really was.
Oh, I was trying to figure out how in the hell she heard him yell her name from all the way across town.
Because they're fucking psychically connected, remember?
But if they were psychically connected, why did the connection end when he lost memory?
Robin, this is my thought. My thought is that she had severed the connection, erased his memory, and then suddenly, oh my god, I can feel him in my head again. That kind of thing. Like, the power of love triumphed over even her magic.
Yeah, it seems like they really pulled that one out of their ass just to not, you know, end up with angry Twihards in the theaters. Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's kind of like the host's ending with the book. I
mean, I'm not going to argue with you. I think it was a really awful ending, but I, like Ollie was saying, like, it really felt like a focus test thing, like a reshoot of some sort.
Yeah.
Yep.
But how pretty were those end credits?
Look at that curly font. That was some nice font.
I was cussing out the screen a little too much to notice the pretty font. Why did you get them back together? That does not work. No, put it back. No one liked the ending.
Oh, I did want to mention, though, that the music was really pretty.
Don't remember much about the music, except that it was not nearly as intrusive as Warm Bodies.
Yeah. I don't know, I noticed it. It sounded like the beginning to a nice rock song, but the music was done by a particular studio, that I saw at the end, and it was really nice.
I think I remember seeing that in the credits, that it was all, like, one group or something that had recorded it.
Yeah, so I might have to investigate the soundtrack, get something out of it. Aside from, you know, 2 hours and, or 1 hour and, what, 57 minutes of enjoyment?
Oh, man. So, we definitely need to just make our own cut It wouldn't require much surgery at all.
No, just a little snip.
Just a snip at the end.
All right, so in conclusion, beautiful creatures.
F minus shitty. Minus.
A plus, 10 out of 10, would fuck.
Would fuck again. As I mentioned earlier, there were things I disliked about it, things I liked about it. Not the worst thing I've seen all year. That can definitely be reserved for Les Mis.
Oh god, yes. Brofist. I think this is one of those, if you were to take a group of friends and go to a really early morning showing when there probably would not be any people in the theater with you to get angry, I think you could have a lot of fun just making fun of this really terrible movie. And in that respect, I feel like it would be an enjoyable movie-going experience. If you were not invested in the book whatsoever and are up for a shitty movie.
Yeah, I wish it had actually been shittier. Because it was just very middling in that way. You know, my partner and I went out to watch it. We were like, sweet, let's go make fun of a shitty movie. And there wasn't as much to make fun of.
How could it have been shittier, just out of curiosity?
Oh, just more ridiculous. Like, all right, the one I think will be the most fun for me is City of Bones, because it's going to be so fucking ridiculous. Like, I expect there to be a lot of characters and crazy fucking magic and fights and ridiculous, like, names of things and groups and people. And I'm going to get, like, probably there'll be weapons that have names and shit, like, in magical fucking books. Like, I know that's going to happen.
Improbable weapons.
Yeah, oh man, it's gonna be crazy. There's gonna be stupid music. Someone's gonna have, like, a catchphrase. And, like, I can't fucking wait for City of Bones. I'm gonna laugh my ass off.
I actually like the banter in City of Bones, but I think that was the only thing that I liked about that book, was the banter. And a lot of it was self-depreciating.
My problem, I think, that's going to be of City of Bones is the same thing that I had with Twilight. Like, I feel like City of Bones is probably going to take itself really seriously, and I think that's going to piss me off more than it is going to enable me to enjoy it. I think I'm going to get really annoyed at these pretentious motherfuckers with their
With Twilight, it's so dry. I just hope that there's, like, more liveliness in City of Bones than in Twilight, because that'll make it much more palatable.
Well, there's definitely more action scenes in the book, at least.
Good.
I'm expecting it to be very Buffy-like.
So, yeah, that was fun.
Good time.
You know, I think I texted somebody, and I'm like, if I could fly all of you guys down here to go see this movie again, I would totally do that, because I want to make fun of it so bad.
I was like, dude, do it, because I saw the shittiest copy ever.
You still need to see the movie proper.
I do, though.
Yep,
it'll make a difference, I know it will.
Alright, well, it was nice bitching at you guys again.
We'll see you all next time. Kayla, thank you very much again for joining us.
Yes, Skanko.
Thanks for having me, Ho Faces. It was fun. Yep. I love complaining.
Alright, well, see you guys next time.
Bye. All right. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Paper Cuts podcast. You can find Ollie at oliviahennis.wordpress.com, Robin at robinconnolly.blogspot.com, and me and Kayla at ykmreviews.blogspot.com. See you next time.